Hi, this is Megan McFeely. Welcome to Inner Life on KMUN in Astoria. We appreciate that you have decided to sit with us today. I want to tell you a bit about Inner Life. It's a thoughtful conversation about what it means to be a human being. Christian author Evelyn Underhill describes inner life in this way. It refers to one's emotional, mental, and spiritual world, encompassing self-reflection, consciousness, and personal growth. It is this foundation for resilience. Those who have deep and real inner life are best able to deal with the irritations of daily outer life. That sounds right, doesn't it?
Spot on.
My guest today is my neighbor, Katie, who has lived in Astoria for 10 years. She is married and has three children. She works in the public service sector for the DA's office here in Clatsop County. She is originally from a small rural town in Oregon. So Katie, where do we start? I was thinking about asking you, like, just to give me a general idea of what your young life was like.
Okay. I grew up in the middle of nowhere, Oregon, super rural, biggest county in the state. But even based on landmass, there's not even a stoplight still. So very secluded, very nature-based, and very community connection-based and small-town living.
And so what was your family like?
My mom was a teacher and librarian, very active in the community. And my dad was more of a secluded, like, home person. So some drastic differences there. I was an only child.
Wow.
So that presents a lot of, you know, specific dynamics and insight.
It does. So I didn't learn anything about an inner life from my parents.
Same.
My mom started exploring spirituality, I think, in the 70s when a lot of women were doing that, you know? And I just thought it was so weird that I was like, okay, crazy lady, you know? But I didn't have any experience with what that was. I mean, it happened late in life. What about you?
Same. My model was based in religion, mm-hmm. And this preset ideas of what life was supposed to be, but not any discussion at all about inner life or mm-hmm. any sort of spiritual base behind it.
Or psychology, even.
Yes.
Yeah, which is also inner life, you know, creativity, psychology, spiritual life, your feelings, your thoughts,
yeah.
All of that.
Yeah, no discussion for me of, like, the ego, the soul, all of these other parts, the parts of the inner workings, the inner life.
And being human. Like, this is the
yes.
fullness of being human. I mean, I think we only value in our culture what you do for a living and how you present yourself in the world. And that, to me, is what's missing. I mean, that is why we are so out of sorts, is because we don't have a relationship to that inner part of ourselves. We could talk about Jung, but I think I'm going to do a whole show on Jung.
Sure.
So tell me what it is and when it started that you started becoming aware of this part of yourself. And usually, I've spoken to a lot of people about this kind of stuff, and it usually starts with something really troubling and difficult. You get cracked open.
Yes.
Is that what happened to you?
That's exactly what happened to me. I went through a immense, complete shattering to the ground based in suffering. Hmm. And that was what, like you said, what cracked all of it open for me.
So when you say based in suffering, can you give me some specifics as to what happened without making yourself uncomfortable?
Yeah. So the very short story is that I had taken a medication for about 8 months as prescribed, and I came off of that medication for some reasons. And coupled with that, it was during COVID, and while in acute withdrawal from that medicine, I had the COVID vaccine, and essentially that combination of those things really went into my central nervous system like a wildfire, and it hijacked my entire body and my brain, having a massive chemical injury that created a condition called akathisia. And started off, it was like a bomb detonating. And from that moment forward, I was just catapulted into a different life and a different identity and all of these other things that really was like a bulldozing to ground zero for me.
So you had no choice.
Nothing.
This is what happened to you.
Yes.
I had a similar situation, nothing like that. My brain still worked, but I had, you know, a destruction of my physical body and my life fell apart. But so what did you do? I mean, you had to get yourself on your feet with your physical health. I mean, that had to be really the first step you made. But what led you to the other aspects and developing these other parts of yourself that has brought you through this traumatic event?
I didn't have any answers. I looked everywhere for answers, and I went to everyone and saw everyone I could. And essentially, it led me to I don't know for the first time in my life. And it led me to a dark night, if you will, that had zero certainty to it.
Wow.
I had no certainty that I would live. I had no certainty of anything. And that was the first time in my life that I had to let go of any sort of control of any aspect of my life or my surroundings or safety or anything. It was being cast into a darkness where there wasn't anything else. There were no lights turned on.
Katie, that's intense. I'm so sad about that. We've talked about this before, so I knew a little bit about it, but this is a more complete explanation. And that is the description of, you know, the dark night of the soul, where you have to surrender to something beyond yourself.
Yes. And you, you know, you alluded to this societal, this conditioning and the roles we play and this who we present to the world, all of the aspects of, you know, what some might call the ego and who we've learned to become on this planet Earth. And I piece by piece by piece had to let go of all of that.
It was almost like it was just taken.
Yeah.
And so you're a mother during this whole thing, and you're married.
Yes.
And I don't want you to reveal anything that makes you uncomfortable, but how was that for your I can't imagine what that was like for your family.
It was an unbelievable experience that left us very isolated. We couldn't relate to other people. To my amazing husband's credit, the only thing that gave me relief from the suffering was riding in a car, and my husband drove me 100,000 miles over a period of 3 years at all times of day to help me to be able to survive the experience and the physical and mental suffering that I had. And so our children, essentially, they were left to have their own experiences in it, and it looked nothing like any plans we had ever made or what it was supposed to look like or even their own roles on the planet. There was just, we were completely undone in every way and having to learn how to be different people.
And so how did you rebuild? So you had this deep surrender, which most people have it a bit by bit, you know, I mean, on a trajectory of awakening, I guess is the best way to describe it. is people awake bit by bit. So what, okay, so you're looking around for support, physical support. What was the first thing you found and how did you find it?
I found support and love, really. My son was 8 at the time, and I remember this day where I was just screaming and yelling. I was saying, I just wish there was something, anything that would take this from me or help me to make it through this. And my 8-year-old at the time looked at me and he said, there is, Mama. It's love. And I don't think I'll ever forget that moment. And it was true. And it kept manifesting and coming in different forms, whether it was from other people or, you know, these higher places within myself or a creator, or it just came in so many formats day after day after day and has continued to come. And that really...
That was it.
That was it. Yeah. That was the most basic understanding of that.
So you had to accept that. Like, that was a moment where you had to accept there's love. So you had to accept the surrender.
Yes.
And then you accepted this idea that love exists beyond whatever. And it comes in whatever form it comes in.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I also, along the way, really... had this continued understanding, and it was revealed to me more and more, like you said, a bit by bit, but I had this understanding of what resistance was versus what acceptance was. And I had never really grasped that before and how that was playing out in my life. So mm-hmm. I was continuing to have this dark night and this undoing. I kept resisting it for such a long time. I want it to go away. I don't want this to be. My identity is clinging and attaching to everything it's ever been. And that just was not going to be how this played out. And now, you know, I'm over 4 years in, and I continue to heal and continue to have stayed alive and live my life. But now the lens... the pair of glasses I have, if you will, as to how I see it all is still continuing to shift to understand what love is and how that did save my life.
This idea of resistance is an incredibly important concept in this stumbling towards awareness that we have. And, you know, Jung used to say, I always go back to Jung.
Same.
Carl Gustav Jung used to say that, you know, if there's a monster after you, and this is paraphrasing everyone, if there's a monster after you, turn around and meet it. And that is the surrender. It's like not a resistance. You just see what's coming at you. And you know what? It takes so much more energy to resist than it does to surrender to what is happening. And
yes.
Life, my job every day is to surrender to what is, to accept my life as it is every day, every day, every day. And I'm not saying I'm great at it. I do understand, and I've been really good at being able to accept almost, you know, circumstances that I just don't really want. You know?
Yeah.
I've been able to do it, but I can't. I'm still like trying to live it the day, you know, every day. But when it comes to big things, I've been able to accept what gets thrown at me. But there is resistance, and, you know, you don't want to suffer. God, you don't want to suffer. Mm. But this idea of embracing something that makes you suffer is a very powerful idea. And to be able to do that is also really powerful.
Yeah. I think, too, such a huge part that I could not have known when it started, but that I feel like I know now, is that I understand how the brain and the body and this vessel works. It's created to survive. Mm-hmm. And that is really mm-hmm. what the ego helps us to do in all mm-hmm. of its formats. But along the way somewhere, I started to meet my soul.
Mm.
And I started to meet myself. And I started to understand that its goal was to help me be.
Mm-hmm.
And to express myself and to come home
mm-hmm.
to what I really am underneath all
mm-hmm.
of it.
Mm-hmm. Underneath all the conditioning.
Yeah.
So this is a 15-minute station identification. This is Inner Life on KMUN in Astoria, 91.9 FM. So what did you just say? You said this authentic nature. So in America, we believe people need to be nice. Mm. And I even think that if you're a spiritual person, that is part of what people believe spirituality is in this country, you know. That might not be the case in other countries. And I think what we are really trying to do is to come to an authentic place in ourselves, you know, just living from the depth of our authenticity, which is not always nice, you know.
For sure.
I'm a pretty fiery person, and I say things that maybe I shouldn't, but, you know, yeah. The heart is love. You know, the heart is love, and I love. And sometimes my behavior might be a little edgy for people.
Sure.
And I trigger people, but I wouldn't say that I'm nice. I'm certainly not mean, but that idea of nice is now not very interesting to me.
Same.
Yeah.
Well, it's such a repression of all of the parts. IFS talks a lot. If you've ever looked into IFS and IFS therapy, but it's
what's IFS?
Internal family system.
Oh yeah.
And all of these parts of the self, and even as children, for most of us, that's how we learn to not be ourselves.
That's right.
Where the conditioning begins.
Yeah.
And those are the programs that still play out in these adult bodies.
Yeah.
We're taught that from the very beginning. We don't walk onto this planet like that, but we're taught that from our environments and our teachers and the grocery store and everywhere we go. And we repress, if we were to go back to young, like these shadow parts, these
yeah.
other parts yeah. of us that aren't, they're
yeah.
not nice, they're messy.
Right.
And then we learn to resist that. We resist these other parts of ourselves instead of being able to sit alongside them and use them as our teachers.
Right. That's key. That is so key. I remember as a child, I saw the adults and I was like, why are they lying? Like, why are they pretending things aren't as they are? And I even knew, I think it was about four, I knew that I had to play the game until I grew up because it was about survival.
Yes.
You know, you got to play the game and then you can get out of it once. But of course, I didn't know what that meant at four. And
sure.
and now I understand what it is, you know, that life was going to force me to get out of it. And I might not have had it not been forced on me, but I was always very curious. But it's true. They're not living their essential self. They're broken. They're, you know, wounded. We're all wounded. And I think that there's something beautiful about saying, yes, we all are, and it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, grab a hold of something inside yourself and create a friendship with it, that, you know, something that is difficult for you, and create a friendship with it and be grateful for it, you know, and that actually starts this integration process and the healing process.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not hard. I mean, it's hard because it's so terrifying, but it's not a hard concept to understand. And I feel sad that this whole culture does not understand anything about it. And we have the mess we have because people are not integrating their shadows, these sure. dark aspects of yourself.
Sure. Yeah, and all you have to do is really walk out the door here, and you're listening continuously to these labels of good, bad, right, wrong, should, shouldn't.
Yeah.
This is even in our everyday language.
Yep.
There's these buckets of do this, no, not like that.
Yeah.
You should be this, you should be that, sit down, be quiet. It's just everywhere. And that's such a normal, quote, whatever normal is, that's such a conditioned, practiced program part of the societal structure that we have lived in.
You know, I have a friend, Ilarion Mirkulev, I think that's how you say his last name. And he is a native man from the Pribilof Islands in Alaska. And he says that he, in his culture, they didn't tell children what to do. They just let them wander around the island and figure out what was going to kill them and what wasn't going to kill them. And, you know, I mean, the elders watched them, but there wasn't instruction. You know, the kids learned on their own. They learned through watching people. But when it came time, he's an elder, and when it came time, they wanted to send him to an American university. And so he went, and he couldn't choose his major because majors were so specific and defined, and he saw everything as connected. And he goes, how can I study that without studying all of this? You know, it's like this whole thing. You can't, it's a, like a holistic study. And so that was really confusing to him. But the way they were raised allows them to know their own inner intelligence.
Yes.
Instead of the structure that's imposed upon us by, you know, what we value in this culture.
I love that.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It's an amazing man. So where would you say you exist now? I mean, do you, I know, obviously you're healed to a certain degree physically, and it's, but it's still something you have to deal with.
Yeah. I'm about 4 years, 3 months in, and I still experience akathisia 24/7, but at a volume that is manageable for me.
No one knows what that is. What is that?
They don't know what it is. It's a medically induced neurological injury to the central nervous system, and there's actually over 500 medications that can cause it. I have not been still for even a minute in over 4 years.
And when you say still, you mean inwardly, like there's always some kind of...
Yeah, I have 11 hertz is what it has been clocked at as far as the speed of it, if you will, which is akin to a hummingbird's wings from the chest up. And it affected my eyes and... Yeah, just an extreme abnormal movement. I had a blood-brain barrier leak. So the protections that keep things from blood inside your body leaking into your brain, that leaked. But I'm here and...
Yeah, I want to end. I see you. I mean, I see you.
Thank you.
And I don't see the wound because how could I? You know, it's inside yourself, but I 100% believe you and trust that that's real. But I see you functioning and I see you raising your child and your children. And I see you, you know, having a comfort in life or loving, you know, life. I see you as a person who is full of love. And so it's hard to reconcile those two things.
Sure.
I know that you have a Buddhist practice, and would you tell me how that came in? We have like about 3 minutes.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I do have a Buddhist practice, but I have an everything practice.
Right.
I have an everything and nothing practice. I am I am in alignment with practicing anything that helps me to be love and be more loving on this planet. And mm-hmm. how that presents itself now is I attend a Buddhist monastery above Klaskanai that I love. But I also take from Christianity and Christ consciousness and in any offering and teaching on the planet that helps me to love myself and love other people more, mm-hmm. and that helps me to live right now. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. really mm-hmm. the most important thing I could tell you I've learned in the last 4 years is that all I have is right now here with
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
I
mm-hmm.
have no other purpose or agenda or even conscious thought of exactly what's happening right now. And
I remember a long time ago, I was in a meditation. I was some, seminar. And they said, go out into, let your consciousness go out into the stratosphere or whatever. And they said, what do you really want to do in life? Mm-hmm. And everyone's saying, I want to be, people are yelling this out. Like, I want to be a doctor. I want to be this or that. And I just kept saying, I want to be love,
Yeah.
I know that that's why I'm here. This is what I need to learn. This is what I need to embody. We all need to. I mean, it's just, it's critical for our survival. So I think maybe you and I are on that path.
Yes.
Is there anything else you want to say,
just
Katie?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited for the opportunity, and
it was great. So in closing, I want to thank Katie and all of you for listening to Inner Life, and I hope in the future to invite you to participate. Everyone has an inner life and an inner story, and sharing our stories is one way we can create community. If you are curious about this show, there's a description on the KMUN podcast page where you can listen to previously broadcast episodes. At some point soon, you can also listen to this podcast on my website, which is asheis.org. That's spelled ASSHE-IS.org. Okay, hope to see you next time. Thank you. Thanks for joining us.